Romans 1:21-23 says this: For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, Artificial Intelligence, Part 2. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to communicate what it is that you want to say to us today. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to receive it, to understand it, and to be empowered to put it to practice in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope that last week really wasn't a sermon, but it was just an effort to kind of bring everybody up to a common understanding of what I'm talking about when I talk about the realm of artificial intelligence, or is usually referred to as AI. It is becoming a very significant part of our future. It is looked to by many to be running the show of our world here in a relatively short part of time. And I think there's some significant things about how we handle, you know, artificial intelligence. It's not artificial intelligence in and of itself, I don't believe, is evil, just any different than what a gun is. It's a tool, and it's what you do with it, what the user does with it, that determines whether or not it is useful or harmful. And understanding what it is, that's a part of the challenge with artificial intelligence, is just understanding what it is and its capabilities and its downfalls, and then treating it accordingly. And it's so much more. A lot of people think, well, it's just a really smart computer box. Well, it's way, way beyond that. And so last week I tried to bring us up to speed to where we had all kind of a common understanding. And I saw something really interesting this week. I showed you last week what's known a bit as a deep fake. I showed the video of Tom Cruise, a deep fake of Tom Cruise. I mean, I would have never known that wasn't Tom Cruise had I not known it was an artificial intelligence deep fake. I showed the one with Zelensky. Was the visual one was not really great. But then the audio one, I mean, this European Union banker lady totally fell for it. She thought she was on a phone call with Vladimir Zelensky. And some interesting, it was a real short clip. I kept it short, but it came out some interesting things that they were talking about that were also exposed. But here's another one just to add to it. This week I heard a mom being interviewed. Now, moms, think about this. Mom is going about her day. She has two kids. One of them is off doing, she competes in downhill skiing, and she's off doing this skiing thing, and the other daughter is at dance. And mom gets a phone call on her cell phone, and it's the daughter that's the skiing daughter going, just crying and carrying on, "Mom, I'm screwed up and I'm in trouble," blah, blah. Anyways, and then a man comes on the phone and says their daughter has been kidnapped and asking for a ransom. So the mom is not very far away. She heads to the dance studio. She's on the phone the whole time. Goes into the dance studio. There are other moms there that know them. And she's, because her, of course, said, don't be getting a hold of the authorities. Don't, you know, all this. But these other women, they get on their phones when they figure out what's going on. And they're calling the cops. And they get a hold of her husband and all this. Finally, she was able to confirm that her daughter, the one that supposedly had been kidnapped, was with her husband. And she was safe. And the mom said, she goes, "I had a hard time accepting it because I was absolutely convinced that was my daughter's voice on the phone that I was hearing." It's an artificial intelligence, an audio deep fake. And the thing was, it's like, well, how did they do that and make it sound just, I mean, mom can't tell this isn't my daughter. So much so that she's doesn't initially believe that dad has the daughter. They're able to do it by simply capturing they don't have to capture her saying what she said on the phone. It's not like they just took a recording of her saying that. They were just able to capture her voice and break it down, the frequencies and the intonations and all that kind of stuff, and then make it say anything they wanted it to and make it sound exactly like her daughter. How'd you like to live in that? In that world, that's going to be a very minor thing, instance of how artificial intelligence will be able to manipulate the world around us and what we think is real and understanding what is real and what is not. So these are things that we are, I've heard people say that we are coming to a time very quickly when we will not be able to trust our eyes and our ears because of what's being put out via artificial intelligence. It's going to be used to propagandize us, to mislead us, and ultimately all of that is done for the purpose of controlling us. And if we do live, in fact, in a time that we are coming close to the return of Jesus, then those end time events in the world that we see in Scripture, I believe, are going to be supported by the use of artificial intelligence. Again, to propagandize us, to mislead us, to control us, and to do those kinds of things. And God, we may not be as close as what it looks like we are to the return of Christ. Maybe God will send revival, and that's certainly possible, and I'm all for it if he does. But barring that, I think we're on the downhill trajectory here towards the end of life on this planet as we understand it. So I'm all for spiritual awakening, though. As I said, though, if we do come to the end, if the Antichrist does rise to power and begin to exercise authority in this world, it is going to be very much through what I believe, what we see is capable with artificial intelligence. And that's why I want to address this topic. I want to address it because the Antichrist, if he's going to have this kind of very, if not truly a global government, certainly it'll influence the world. It's going to be done and made possible because of what artificial intelligence is capable of doing. And so I want to keep things in perspective with that kind of power, the power of artificial intelligence and how it will be used, with what we see in Scripture. So last week was very much about, you know, AI. I want to get back to Scripture. That's where we always want to be this week. So how does this idea, of course, obviously the Bible does not talk about artificial intelligence anywhere, but I believe it can be seen to fit into these end time events, if you will. And so that's what I want to look at today. I want us to take a look and be reminded of what God tells us is going to be happening in the end times, and that we need to understand it and stand up and be courageous and, you know, continue to serve God no matter what. So I want to go back. I'm going to read my opening passage again very quickly, and then we'll move on from there. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and became foolish. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." You can see this absolutely being played out in the development of artificial intelligence. They believe these people are really smart in an intellectual sense. When it comes to, you know, science and engineering and all these kind of things, they are very smart. They're so smart that they are developing for themselves a god. Artificial intelligence to these people are a god. First of all, they don't believe in God at all. Like I referenced Yuval Harari last Sunday. These people are avowed atheists, okay? They are purely humanistic. They believe we are just evolutionary meat puppets, okay? And that's the way they're treating us. They are their own god, and they're making something even better to rule over us. I mean, folks, that may sound crazy, but please tell me, is that any crazier than the Israelites making a calf out of gold and bowing down and worshiping it? Is it any crazier than people building a tower that they say they want to reach to the heavens and they will become gods themselves? So God has to come down to the Tower of Babel and confuse their voices? Because remember, we are capable. These things seem like, it's like watching the Jetsons, okay? They're accomplishing these things. Remember, how old is the Terminator movie? That was from the late 80s, right? And he's this molten metal thing that we watched last week, where they had a little figure that was molten metal melt down, escape its cage, and then reform back into the little character. This is sci-fi stuff. It's happening. These are smart people. But they become foolish to think that this is greater than the God, the supernatural, immortal God that created this world, because they don't believe in that God. They're creating artificially intelligent, but I would say from God's standard, they themselves, while being smart, they are artificially intelligent because they don't understand what real intelligence, true intelligence is recognizing God and reverencing Him as God rather than trying to become gods themselves. So, although they became wise, they became fools. I think that's been the case. That's been true at any point in history. But it's more true now than I've ever seen it, because we're doing stuff that was like, you know, super five-size stuff is now happening. So, I want to look at what is true, not artificial and building our own gods, but instead what God says is true. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I'm going to read Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and then I'm going to jump to Genesis 2, 7. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the seas and the birds of the air, over the flock, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 2, 7. "Then God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Let me ask you a question. What is to be the most superior being on this planet? Mankind, right? God created man in his image, and he created him to do what? To say, to rule over his creation, if you will. Artificial intelligence is being developed by people who think they're going to build the most superior thing on this planet, and they're doing it for the purposes to rule over us. Do you get that? I don't know, and I'm not going to get into this. You've probably all heard teaching and heard people talk about what it's going to be like in the end times, when the Antichrist rises to power and he exercises some level of a great deal of authority. I don't know that it's certainly over all of earth, but over large portions of the earth that will exert influence into all areas of the earth. What that will be like, it will be very controlling, very domineering, very authoritative, very authoritarian. I say all this to say we cannot go along with that. It must, if you are Christian, it must be resisted at all costs. Do I need to be more descriptive about at all cost? Because if we are Christian, we understand that God made us the superior being on this planet as long as this planet exists, and it is not negotiable. He put us in charge of his creation, not to build some machine to rule over us, any more than he wanted us to be ruled over by a golden calf or to build a tower that reached the heavens and bow down and worship that. That is not God's intent. And if we really believe God's word and that Jesus is our Lord, then we can never, ever do that. So this message is about knowing what God's word says, and so that when other things come up, like artificial intelligence and what they want to do with it, we have to stand and say no. Now, I got news for you, and I know I'm not doing a very good job of this. I said last week, and I'll say again, I'm not here to scare you. But they'll have all the power and authority in an earthly sense. You have to have we have to have an eternal perspective. That what counts is eternity, not our comfort in the here and now. But that God has eternity taken care of for us as long as we know Jesus Christ. God made us to be the superior being, to have dominion over all of this earth, to rule over the created things. He made two sexes. He created them. What does it say? Male and female. That's it. And I don't want to get into all that, but you know what I'm talking about, right? All the things we see going on around us now with like transgenderism and so much more is meant to be destructive to God's created order. They want it destroyed. So again, when you hear all that, you can have compassion for the person that's having these struggles, but you can never sacrifice the fact. You can never give ground on the fact that God created two genders, two sexes, man and woman. End of story. Now, are there sometimes genetic problems that come up? Yes, in very, very, very rare cases. But that's not the mold. That's not the system that God designed. He created man and woman. And beyond that, what I love is, as I said last week, some of the developers of artificial intelligence talk in terms of it reaching a point of being. I didn't read this. There was a lot last week that I didn't spend time reading. There's actually debates going on if artificial intelligence reaches what's called sentience or self-consciousness, is it considered to be a living entity? And there are people that believe that yes, it is. Why can they say that? Because they don't believe in God. They don't believe God created life the way that we understand the creation story. So it's not difficult for them. That sounds crazy to us. How can a bunch of wiring and microchips and metal and all that be living? But it's not hard for them to see it that way because they don't believe in God creating life. This is, again, one of those areas that's not negotiable. The only way that life, along with that, there's actually discussions. If artificial intelligence is conscious of itself, it reaches sentience, its life, does it have rights? Does it have rights the way we discuss for ourselves? There are people legitimately discussing whether or not artificial intelligence has rights the way we have rights. And if they do, then what are they? If there's right to life, and how, does anybody know 2001 Space Odyssey? It's running away, running amok. Do I have the right to unplug it? Well, Hal doesn't think so. What are you doing, Dave? Yes, yeah, but they don't believe that life, the baby in the womb is really life. I know, it's crazy. So this is where, and I read, why are we alive? Why does mankind have life? What is life? According to what I read in Genesis 2:7, life is God breathing his life into us. He animates us with the breath of life from God himself. That's life. There is no other life other than what God has breathed of himself into man to animate us. I've said this before, but I always find this fascinating. The whole human body at the cellular level is essentially a brand new every 2 years. Did you know that? Because your cells divide and replicate, and the old ones die, and new ones are there taking place. So every 2 years, that's my understanding, is you're completely new. Well, then how come you get old? And why do you die? Because our life is the soul, God, that he breathed into us. And when that leaves us, we're dead. even though all the body parts, all the organs are there to do their function and carry on life, they don't, it's all there. It's all there to make us, to make the system work, but it don't work no more because the life of God has gone out of us. And you can hear plenty of people talk about what that was like, who have been died and resuscitated, of what it's like. That it's not just about the physical. We are alive because God breathed his essence of life into us. There is no other life. Now, I know these may be, this, I may be talking about things that sound very basic to us as Christians, but I think it's important that we be reminded of these things, because there's going to be a whole onslaught, a whole wave of information coming at us saying things different than what God's Word says. In preparing this, I could go on and on and on about some of these things. I thought to myself, well, this is probably going to be a two-parter. I don't think I can get through this in 1 week. This might be a three- or four-parter at the pace I'm going at, all right? So we'll see. Let's go on, though. I'm going to try to get through this. I have a note here to myself to do this quickly. Well, yeah, so much for that. Last week I showed you a video of Yuval Harari saying that we are going to have to figure out what to do as AI more comes online, more and more of it. We're going to have to figure out what to do with all of the useless people. And what was his answer? We're going to give them drugs and video games just to keep them occupied. I've heard other people talk about, Yuval Harari was kind. He used the term useless people. I've heard others use the term useless eaters. How do you feel about being categorized as a useless eater? So I want to look at Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Genesis 3, 17 through 19 says, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. But by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until your return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. So, we often hear that work is a curse put on mankind due to our sin. But if you read it very exactly, it doesn't say that man was cursed. What does it say was cursed? The ground was cursed. Now, if you will, what we see is a transition. God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they did that, their eyes became open, and they understood that there was both good and evil in this world. Prior to that, they had no knowledge or understanding of that. All right. So now it became man. Prior to that, mankind never had to worry. And when I use the word man, I'm talking about humanity. All right. Now, I know everybody gets hung up on that, man or mankind. Well, I got news for you. Even when we say, well, it refers to humanity, you know what word is in humanity? Yeah, man. Okay, so get over it. Did you know that the word Indian, do you know what it means? Everybody gets hung up on these words. Indian. Can't say Indian. You got to say what instead of Indian? What do we say? Native American. You know what Indian means? You know what a synonym to Indian is? Native. Folks, I'm an idiot, and I know these things, all right? It's not that hard. Also, I just want to say this. Oh, that's a different spot. Anyways, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the first time, mankind before that never had to worry about, well, is that right? Is that wrong? Is that good? Is that bad? It didn't even enter their mind. But now they have to. Prior to eating from the knowledge of good and evil, the ground did not make them work for what they got from it. It was just all good, and it produced on its own. Now, just like having to sort out what's good and bad, right and wrong, they have to sort out and work with the ground, get rid of the thistles and get rid of the thorns and keep the good stuff. Now I'm going to have to work it. just like I have to work life. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it obedient to God? Is it disobedient to God? Is it good? Is it bad? That's all. It was a transition to God saying, okay, since you want to live in that kind of world of good and evil, right and wrong, well, now you're going to have ground. It's going to produce a lot of good stuff, but you're going to have to weed out the bad stuff too. So I'm going to give you Roundup and things like that, all right? And a hoe. And you're going to have to sort it out, just like they do the rest of life. But it produces good stuff. We have life from that ground that we have to sort out the good and the bad, the thistles and the crops. And that's what's taking place. It's going to be an effort. But Adam and Eve, when I talk about eternity in heaven, there will be no pain, there will be no suffering, there will be no heartache, there will be no illness. You won't even ever have even the most moderate negative thought. It's all good. You're never going to have the slightest frustration, nothing. Adam and Eve, prior to sin, lived an effortless life. That's a good word to understand this. Effortless. Once they became aware of right and wrong, good and bad, it takes effort to sort out life, to sort out relationships, to sort out actions and reactions. Now it's going to take effort to sort out what the ground produces. Is it good to eat? Is it thistles and thorns? I'm going to have to put forth an effort, just like I now have to put forth an effort in life. Prior to that, life was, we can't even think about what an effortless life would look like, can we? It's not even within our brains to comprehend that. But that's what Adam and Eve had. They had an effortless life. Like I always say, you can't threaten me with heaven. I'm ready, whatever. Effortless. That's what he's describing. Work, they're viewing it as, what are we going to do with all these worthless eaters? They don't need to work. Folks, we need to work. That's the system that God designed for us, because it produces for us. It produces through our efforts. Our lives have meaning. It has purpose. We sort out the good and the bad. And from that, getting rid of the bad and keeping the good, we elevate ourselves. Human beings are intended to be elevated, to elevate through the purpose of living the life that God has for us now in this world, to have an opportunity to see our lives elevated. They don't see us like that at all. They see us as workers, either useless workers or productive workers, useless eaters or maybe productive eaters. But it's not about us. It's about them and their system and us simply providing what the labor that they need, where God gave work to man to elevate our own lives. We can never accept the idea that simply sitting around and having everything provided for us and then sedate us with video games and drugs, it's never acceptable. Because that goes completely against the way God intends us. God intends us to labor, to work, given what he's given us, and have the opportunity for our lives to have meaning and value and to elevate ourselves and elevate the people around us. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Work is good. Listen, if you don't think work is good, listen to this. Genesis 1, 31 through 2:2. God saw that what he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished his work. The work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. God worked. And what did he do? He built, he constructed, he designed, he elevated this world through his work. Having life of complete leisure is not godly, okay? It is not heavenly. God himself worked. And that work produces, and it produces with purpose. Therefore, look, we all love getting off work. Amen. And I'm certainly not, I'm a lazy person. I'm not a fan of physical labor. It's not my thing. If I worked with power tools, I'd be missing half my digits. All right? I got three things I can do in life. I can preach, I can fly an airplane, and I can tell you how to get fit. Okay? Beyond that, I don't have any skills. But you guys have skills that I don't have, and I'm grateful for that. But we have purpose. We have purpose in what we do. All right? It has meaning. God worked, it produced. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So even before sin, God called what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden, he called it work. Why? Because it was productive. It was purposeful to what God had designed for Adam and Eve to do. Now, I don't really know what that work looked like, but I know what the Bible says. It was a responsibility that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It gave their life purpose. It fit the design that God had given them. It was productive. Ecclesiastes 3, 9, and then I want to jump verses 12 and 13. And Ecclesiastes is a very challenging book. And I know there's plenty of people that would wish it wasn't even in the Bible. And it can seem to be contradictory of other areas of Scripture sometimes. But I like it. And I like this passage. Ecclesiastes 3, 9, and then 12 through 13. What does the worker gain from his toil? Well, apparently there's gain to toil. Verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. That's what the NIV says, or find satisfaction in his work. This is the gift of God. So if I read that, I understand that God gave us work and toil as a gift so that we can find satisfaction in it. If you get something for nothing, you may enjoy it, but you don't have satisfaction from it. That you made it happen. You provided for yourself. You produced it. I mean, we all know, as much as we may not enjoy it, if we take on some hard task and we accomplish it, we feel really good about ourselves. We feel satisfied. Amen? If you've never done this, try it sometime. Go do something hard and accomplish it. And you're going to feel satisfaction from doing it. Solomon says, Solomon's the wisest man the world has ever known, says that is a gift of God. It gives us reason to get out of bed in the morning and go out and work and produce something to provide a good life, to find happiness and provision for our lives, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, if you will, not as the ultimate, but as a part of our lives. God wants us to enjoy what our hands produce. It has meaning to it. It gives us a purpose, and ultimately, we can feel satisfied about it and say, there's some reason for this life to exist. If all this is not true and that God created for us, what are we doing here? I mean, if this is not true, then this life and this world we live in is utterly meaningless. Like I said last week, even as some people believe, and I didn't get into this last week, but there are plenty of people in the field of artificial intelligence that think that, well, Elon Musk hinted at it, that AI can take over and humans will cease to exist. What purpose would there be? Why would those machines continue to operate? What? To create more metal and more microchips and more... without a soul, without an appreciation of life, what meaning is there to that? Well, if there is no God and he gave us this understanding of the world that he provided for us, what meaning is there to any of this? God gave us all this to give us meaning. This, I probably am going to end up having to redo this because I'm like on page 2 of like 9 pages. So I don't want to go on. I don't want to drag this out too far. Which is? There is, what, about meaning? There is no meaning. It's completely pointless. Right. Right. I heard a guy, and his name is Alex Epstein. He's excellent, dealing with the whole realm of climate change, energy, you know, fuels and all that kind of stuff. And how he said there's a fundamental question you need to ask yourself in it, is do we live on the earth and use the earth for the betterment of mankind and humans, or do we see humans on earth as a detriment to the earth? So it's, how do you look at it? Which perspective do you take? As a Christian, we should understand that God gave us this earth as a benefit to mankind, that we can use it in a responsible way, that mankind flourishes, rather than seeing ourselves as destructive to this earth, and that there is no God, and that we are a net negative on the earth. I mean, folks, mankind does make earth better. I mean, in a lot of places, I mean, water is cleaner just because it's running down a stream. Even without the chemicals and stuff we put in it, there's plenty of naturally occurring things in waters that we do not want to consume. So what do? We purify it before we drink it. We make it better. We make it more pure. There would be massive fires, like when you see the big forest fires and stuff, they don't happen and get out of control because of mankind. They get out of control because of bad land management. What do? If we're smart, not like California, we clean up dead brush and we make fire breaks and things like that, so that if there is a lightning strike, it doesn't end up burning a million acres. It gets, you know, localized and it's taken care of and burned out. We make things better on this earth if we're smart about how we do it. Mankind is not a detriment to the earth. So yes, the perspective, the way that you look at it, of course, to them, maybe doing all this gives them meaning, because otherwise there is no meaning. There is no meaning to any of this without God and Him giving us this purpose. I got to figure out some way to stop what I'm doing here and wrap this up. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. Did I read that already? And take care. I read all that. So let me read this one verse and kind of wrap this up. And this isn't the best way to stop this, but I don't know how else to stop because I'm out in the middle of things here. 2 Corinthians 6:18, talking about God creating us and creating this world. He says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So who do we belong to? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the political leaders, the intellectuals of this world developing artificial intelligence, and the captains of industry and all these people? Is that who you belong to? No, we belong to God. He is our Father, and we are His children, and He created us, and we have life because He gave it to us. That's who we belong to. And because we belong to God, that also defines our purpose. We have purpose. We have purpose in this world to elevate the world, to elevate God's creation, to give it purpose and meaning, and to see it produce and benefit and produce in our lives. And by doing that, we benefit the people around us. I mean, most of us have some level of understanding that as we live our lives, we do it so that the people around us are not, they're not harmed, they don't suffer from it. But maybe by the way we live our lives, not only do we benefit, but it brings a little bit of benefit to the people around us that we care about. That's the purpose with God as our Father, not just simply existing and either producing for the people that, you know, are in power. You know, we're just simple worker bees and have no other meaning in life at all. The fact that God is our Father and we are His sons and daughters gives and defines our life with purpose. They want to take all that away and use us simply to produce a product of whatever it is that they want, spend our money to consume it, and us not think or worry about our own elevation. We're not elevated at all in that. We're not elevating anybody around us. We're simply sedated with drugs and video games after our 8-hour shift until we come back and produce more widgets for whatever it is that they want them for. I say all this, and maybe this is enough. Maybe I don't need part 2, 3, 4, and 5 to just remind us that as this comes more and more and more into the world, that we understand who we are and who God is and what this creation is. And we just have to have, you have to define, folks. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to decide what that is, but you're going to have to define. Unless you're just going to be swept up and overwhelmed in this and become a part of it, you're going to have to define what that line in the sand is for you that you will not cross. Because they absolutely will try to drag you across those lines with them and just turn you into an asset for their use. You're not meaningful, you're not a life, you're certainly not divine, created in the image of God. You're just something useful for their purposes. And that's evil. Their purposes are evil because they deny God, they deny the very definition of life, they deny the fact that mankind is special and has purpose and meaning and value and all of that. And so, what's that line? You're going to have to decide for yourself. I know what my line is. I mean, you're going to have to decide what yours. I'm not using their mark of the beast, digital currency, and I'm not bowing down to anybody other than God, and I'm not believing that there's 100 and however many genders, and none of that's happening. So, if they want to come and take me away, then I guess either life will be over right then, or else they'll come and take me away. But I'm not bowing down to it. So it just, because why? Because I have an eternal perspective. I'm much more worried about going to that big, big house with many, many rooms, okay, than I am working in their widget factory. Wow, don't you feel better? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Father, we thank you that we are created in your image. God, that's nothing that we did. It's something that you said that you did, and that you, it's the way you made us. Yes, we have a divine glory in us. It's your glory, and it is not for sale to anyone in this world. It belongs to you. You gave us life. You gave us purpose. It's you that we serve. And God, we do that to elevate this creation that you gave us responsibility over and the people that we love, the people that we care for around us. So Lord, help us to remember that as we hear all the news that's going to be coming down the pike, that we remember who we are as God's children and that you sent your one and only Son to die for us, to redeem us, that we might live eternally with you. And nothing, no matter what goes on in this world, can take that away from us as long as we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, we thank you for giving us this great gift that we did not deserve or earn in any way, but we give it back to you for your praise and for your glory. Lord, now go with each of us during this week. Watch over everyone, protect them, keep them healthy and safe. And God, find some way to shine through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.